And turn to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. We are continuing our study on the second coming, the signs of the coming of the Lord Jesus, watching Jesus come. Let's take our Bibles, Matthew chapter 24, and I want you to look down to verse 3. We'll get a running start and take care of everything here. Verse 3, and he sat upon the Mount of Olives, and the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming to the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many, the deceivers. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And this is talking about the destruction. And there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. This is talking about the disasters. And all these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you. And you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Then shall be many offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. We talked about that particular portion last week. But I want you to zero down on verse 12 tonight. It says, And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, we come before you now. We thank you for the day. We thank you for the time that you've given to us. Lord, I pray tonight that you will just keep our eyes focused upon you. Help us in everything we do. I pray that you will guide us and direct us. And Lord, I pray that you will get us just anticipating your coming. I pray that even tonight, Lord, that we would be ready and be looking and be watching for your coming. In your wonderful name we pray. Amen. Tonight I want to share with you the demise that's found here in this particular passage. Now, what we've done in other messages, we have gone back through and given you facts and things that are happening around the world. And by the way, let me just give you a side note. Many of you probably have heard about this and hear what is going on. But Greece has gone through a very detrimental time, and they've been having emergency meetings even this week to balance out and to try to support Greece. The euro dollar is failing very quickly because of Greece and what is happening. And they are literally afraid of stock markets around the world tomorrow crashing because of what's happened in Greece. But here's the thing I want you to look at. Folks, all of this has to happen before the Lord can come back. These are not things that we're to be fearful. We're not to be fretting and saying, oh, woe is me. What we're to see is these things are happening right before us. Now, again, we don't know how long the coming of the Lord will be. And again, let me just say this. When we talk about the coming of the Lord, we're not talking about the rapture. The rapture is the very next event on God's time clock. We are talking about the physical, bodily, second coming back to this earth of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the second coming is at least 7 years away, but these events, as they begin to take place, will transpire. Now, go back to verse 12. And it's interesting, we talked about in Matthew chapter 24, Mark chapter 13, and Luke chapter 21, all have the same verses except this verse. Verse 12 is not found in any other portion. Look at verse 12 again. And it says, And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Now, we all know that things are getting worse in our country and around the world as far as sin than it ever has been before. If you would go back and look at the headlines 10 years ago and look at the headlines today, it would literally shock you of how far we've gone. You go back just 10 years, the things that were taboo and those things that were never spoken of or those things that were never out in the open are common things that are happening in our day and age today. Now, I want you to look at a parallel passage, and this is where we want to spend the time tonight, in 2 Timothy chapter 3. If you'll turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 3, this is a parallel passage about the end of times. And I think it's a very good passage, and this is where I want to zero in tonight on the signs or the demise of what is taking place literally around our world. And again, as I have been throughout this series of messages, we've been giving you examples and illustrations. Tonight, we're going to stick with the Word of God, and I want to show you what God is saying, and I think you'll understand as we go through this very slowly about where we're at right now. Now, the first thing I want you to see is the sins, and I want you to look at verse 1. It says, and this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Now, if you will take a phrase back from Matthew chapter 24, iniquity shall abound. What this means is sin will become worse and worse and worse the closer we get to the coming of the Lord. Let me share with you the sins that will be, as the Bible talks about, taking place here upon this earth as things began to increase and get closer. Folks, when you see these things mentioned here in 2 Timothy taking place on a regular basis, guess what? We're getting close. We're getting close to what is happening. Let me break down just a few of these. We're not going to take the time to go over all of these, but let me just give you a few of these and break them down, and I think you'll understand where we're at today. First of all, I want you to look at verse 2. It says, and men shall be lovers of their own selves. Now, it goes on. It talks about covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, and so forth. Now, I want you to think about this particular thing. What this is talking about is people will become more and more selfish and centered on me. Hey, it's all about me. It's all what I want. You know, we hear things that are done around this world that people look out for number one. Look out for me. The Army has a new, they've had this out for a while, be an army of one. You know, you think about that. How ridiculous is an army of one? I mean, what can one person do? But here's the thing. This is what God was saying in His Word. The Word of God tells us as we get closer and closer and closer to the coming of the Lord, people are going to turn and say, hey, it's all about me. It's all about what I want. It's all about my desires. It's all about what I feel, what I think. It's not about anybody else. It's not about reaching out to someone else. It's about me. Look at me. Look at my problems. Look at what I'm doing. And we're seeing this happen right away. Now, go down to also verse 2, and notice another sin that's very predominant. At the end of this, it says, disobedient to parents. I don't have to say a great deal about this because you see this on the rise. Kids are doing what they want to. Kids are telling teachers at school, you can't do that to me, I'll sue you. You can't touch me. You can't tell me what to do. School officials have their hands tied. They don't know what to do with kids. Parents don't know what to do with their kids because the kids are ruling them. And literally what we're seeing is a disobedient to parents in such a way that it is on the increase that kids are just totally out of control and in control of the entire household. This has been ongoing for a while, but it's getting worse and worse and worse. You know, I remember, 15, 20 years ago and the conditions in our schools and what was taking place, and you look and see what's happening now. Folks, it's bad. It's getting worse. And it doesn't matter what type of school it is, doesn't matter what's going on. The school officials literally have no control. They have nothing they can do. Their hands are literally tied. But here's the thing. God said this is going to be getting worse. There's going to be a rash of being disobedient to parents. This is not going to be just an outbreak, just a one-time occurrence. It's going to become literally the law of the land. It's going to become natural. It's going to become just what is taking place. Go on down, I want you to see another thought that's in there, and also in verse 2, unthankful. How many times have you heard the statement, Well, you owe that to me. I'm owed that. You need to do this for me because you owe it to me. Unthankful for what people do. You know, I'm appalled sometimes of how people are unthankful for what is done to them and what they do. You know, over the years I've often wondered and thought about this. Some of the people that our church, per se, have helped the most have turned their back on us. Unthankful. Don't care. Could care less. I remember one particular family that we helped with a Christmas one year, and this family just pleaded and pleaded and said, we don't have anything and we don't do anything. I think it was WG that was helping me. And we went by the house. It was just right around the corner over here. And we got there, and literally the kids had every kind of gift you can imagine. They went to every single church in the area and told the same sob story. They didn't care. But you know what? They got mad at us because we didn't give them a certain gift that they asked for. I'm thankful. Could care less. But this is a condition of our world. People are becoming ungrateful, unthankful, and they turn away from the things of God. Let me give you a couple others. Go on down to, this is an interesting one. Go down to verse 3. It says, and without natural affection. Literally what this means is as we get closer and closer to the coming of the Lord, men will be with men and women will be with women. And folks, that's wrong. It goes against nature. It goes against what God is talking about. It goes against the Word of God. But this is becoming the normal. You look at all the television shows that talk about a homosexual relationship. You look about all the schools and the different things that are promoting homosexual agendas. Folks, it's in our face. It's constant. It is just we are being bombarded with what is taking place. And folks, when we speak out against it, we're in the wrong. You know, just a few months ago, they passed a hate crimes bill. And the hate crimes bill, one of the things, and folks, don't get me wrong, I believe that we need to treat people fairly. I believe that we need to treat folks in a fair manner. But the hate crimes bill is such, and the wording is such, that if myself or anyone else would speak out against the sin of homosexuality, you are committing a hate crime. Folks, I'm going to preach the Word of God. I'm going to tell people what the Bible says. This is God's Word. It doesn't matter what the world thinks. It doesn't matter what the world says is politically correct. Oh, you're not supposed to condemn somebody who's living in a gay relationship. Folks, it's wrong according to the Word of God. I've mentioned this many times before. It's not Adam and Steve, it was Adam and Eve. Isn't that right, Steve? Okay, very good. Just checking, making sure. But folks, here's the thing we have to do. Okay? We get criticized when we talk about, and listen, we are not to condemn people, we're going to condemn the sin. We're not to go and there was a church, and I know about this church out in Topeka, Kansas, that rallies and they go all across the nation and do all kinds of protests. And they were just here recently at Virginia Tech and protesting about certain things. This church is a radical church, and they call themselves, or the news media says, they're a fundamental independent Baptist church. Folks, they're Baptists, but they're not fundamental in what they're doing. We are not to be going against people. We're to preach against sin. There's a difference. We're to love people. We're not to condemn and we're not to look down. We're not to focus our anger, our hatred toward people. We're to show them the way of God. But people get angry. People get upset. People get riled up when you speak about the sin of homosexuality. God said it would get worse and worse and worse. And folks, we're just at the ice tip of the iceberg right now. We've got a long ways to go in our world and what is going to be taking place. Now, go down to one last thought, and I want you to look down to verse 4. Down to the very last phrase. It says, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. We are seeing this in a very rapid rate here in our nation. You know, it's funny how more people will go to a sporting event on Sunday than they will to church. They will go to different things that are taking place, and instead of going to the house of God or doing what they need to be doing, people spend literally thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars going. And folks, don't get me wrong. I have nothing against sports activities and participating and going and doing different things. But here's what God said. Men will be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And this is where we're at. People are loving the joy of pleasure and things of this world instead of loving God. That's where we're at. That's where our nation, that's where our world is at. And again, it's not wrong to have fun. It's not wrong to go to certain activities. It's not wrong to do certain things. But what's wrong is you put those activities before God and you're doing those things instead of doing what God says. God said men will be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. That's what the Bible teaches. That is what is happening all across our nation and across our world. Now, I want you to understand something. Remember back in Matthew, we talked about iniquity shall abound. The word abound means to grow and to gain ground. And again, you are seeing these things happen. These things are what we have read here in 2 Timothy is happening all over. Go with me over to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Let me show you a couple other passages dealing with the idea of sin. 1 Timothy chapter 4, and look at verse 1. It says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressively that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking in lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meat, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving to them that believe and know the truth." Now, this is talking about in the latter times what's going to happen, how sin will be on the increase. Now, I want you to go back over with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4, or chapter 3, I mean. And look down to verse 5, and we see the second thought. Bible says, "And having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, and from such turn away." We've seen the sin in the first section. And the second thing, the point I want you to see, is the separation. The separation. Now, God said in this particular verse, people will have a form of godliness, or they will appear to be godly, but denying the power. Go with me over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Just back a couple books to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And I want you to look at verse 1. A very interesting portion of Scripture. Second Thessalonians chapter 2, and look at verse 1. It says, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto Him," talking about the rapture of the church, going together, "that you be soon not shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except their coming to falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who shall opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now you know what withhold, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity hath death already worked, only he who now letteth will let, and until he hath taken out of the way." Now, I want you to look at verse 3. Go back up to verse 3. The Bible says, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day, the coming of the Lord, shall not come, except there come a falling away first." Now, I want you to see this. As Paul was writing to the church at Thessalonica, he was telling them, "I want you to understand something. I want you to understand that we are living in the latter times. We're living in the last days," as he talked about in the greatest chapter, I believe, on the rapture of the Lord Jesus Christ, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. and how the Lord talked about that when the trumpet shall sound, we will be lifted up and we'll be with the Lord and we'll be taken out of here. But here's the problem that was going on. The Christians in the day of Paul thought that they had passed the time of the coming of the Lord. There were some false teachers that were there, and they were preaching, and they were saying, you are now living in the tribulational period. Jesus has already come. You missed it. Well, folks, there's a lot of preachers today that are saying we are living in the tribulational days. We are not. The tribulation period has not yet started. You say, how do you know? This verse is a key to understand this. The Bible teaches that, first of all, there has to be a falling away. And I want you to look at verse 3 again. I want you to see this. It says, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. The son of perdition. Now, the son of perdition is none other than the Antichrist. He will be on the scene. Now, I want you to see something. I want you to understand what has taken place. I want you to see the idea of a falling away. Okay? Now, the Bible says there must be a falling away first. Okay? There are a lot of misconceptions about this particular verse. Some teach that Christians will lose their salvation and fall away. Folks, it's impossible. A Christian can never lose their salvation. You say, why? It's eternal. God gave it to you. It's a free gift of God. You can never lose what God has given to you. God will never take back what He's given to you. Once you're saved forever, and you can never get out of the hand of God. A falling away is not talking about losing their salvation. Go back with me to Matthew chapter 24, and let me show you what a falling away is. Matthew chapter 24, hold your finger back in 2 Thessalonians. We're coming right back there. But I want you to look at verse 12. Matthew chapter 24, and I want you to look at verse 12, and I will show you what the falling away is. It says, because iniquity shall abound, because sin shall be on the increase, notice this, the love of many shall wax cold. You say, well, sure, people get out of love. Well, you've got to understand who God was talking about there. God was talking about getting out of love with God. I want you to follow this. I want you to see this. Okay? Go with me also to Revelation chapter 3. Let me show you another verse. Again, keep your finger there in 2 Thessalonians. We're coming right back, but I want to show you a principle that God is laying down. Look at verse 17 in Revelation chapter 3. Bible says, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. As Jesus is talking to the church at Laodicea, the latter-day church, He makes this statement. He says that you are looking and seeing, you're waxing about with great wealth and everything else. You have need of nothing. You do not need God. Here's where the separation comes. And here's where the falling away is talking about. As we get closer and closer and closer to the coming of the Lord, because of sin, because sin is abounding, and because sin is becoming normal. It is not the abnormal anymore. Folks, it used to cringe people when we mentioned certain sins and we would talk about certain things. Now they're commonplace. 15, 20, 30 years ago, if you would mention some of the sins that are taking place right now, people in the pew would blush or go underneath the pew or be literally hysterical for what you're talking about. And folks, today, that is the norm. But here's what's happening. Christian people, people who are born again, people who are saved, are falling away from God and getting away and getting farther and farther away from God because their love for God is getting colder and colder and colder. And folks, here's the separation. Here's what happens. We've been studying the book of Hebrews chapter 12 about keeping our eyes focused on the Lord, looking to Him, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. You see, what we have to do as a Christian, we have to focus our eyes on the Lord and say, I want to zero in on the Lord. I want to see the Lord. I want to see Him. I want to focus on Him. And when we take our focus off of the Lord, we grow cold in our love to God. There are churches after church, there are church after church after church all over the nation, all over the world, that have grown cold against the things of God. You would be surprised on a Sunday morning how many churches never even open the Word of God. The name of Jesus is never mentioned one time in any service or anything that's taking place. And people are coming together to worship God. You say, Pastor, how do you know that? You talk to people, you hear what they say. I remember talking to one particular person. They were talking about the Sunday school, and I was asking them what they did in their Sunday school. Oh, we talk about current events. I said, well, that's good. Do you take those and compare with the Bible? No, we just talk about what's going on. We bring a newspaper in, and we go over the whole newspaper, what's happening. I said, is anything related to the Word of God? Oh, no, we just want to be up on our current events. Talk to another person. They were telling me about their service. This person asked me, do you use the Bible in your church? And I thought that was a very strange question. I said, we base everything we do on the Word of God. Why? Oh, our pastor never opens the Bible. Our pastor gives us a little short little sermon and talks about good things and everything else, but the Bible's never... We have a Bible in the church. It's a big, big Bible. We have it down the front table, but the Bible's never opened in church. This church right here in our area. If I would say the name of it, some of you even know what I'm talking about. Here's what's happening. The Bible says there will become a time of separation where people will separate themselves from the love of God. Now, folks, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. Separating themselves from the love of God does not mean they're not saved. What it means is they're backslidden, their eyes are not on the Lord, and they're not looking for the coming of the Lord. They are backslidden. They have waxen cold. They are indifferent to the things of God. As we get closer and closer and closer to the coming of the Lord, we will find more and more good people falling out of church, falling out of fellowship with God, falling out of doing what they normally did in times past. As we get closer and closer and closer to the coming of the Lord, we will see not a great revival, but a great retreat from the things of God. But folks, we're seeing that now. Oh, we're seeing people that were strong in the Lord fall by the wayside. Oh, that'll never happen to me. I'll never get out of church, and pretty soon they're out of church. But I want you to think about this. As the Lord talked to His disciples and told them, one of the signs would be the demise of what has taken place. We're going to see sin on the rampage. Iniquity shall abound. We will see the love of many wax cold. Notice what it says, love of many. Not just a few, not just a select group of people, but many. Many people will turn away from God. And the closer and closer and closer we get, there will be just a small remnant of people that are standing for the things of God. Now, folks, we need to be praying for revival. We need to be praying that God would do something great. And God can, and God will do something if we allow Him to. But here's the problem. The Bible says these things have to happen before Jesus comes back. Before the Lord comes back to see what has taken place. Let me give you a couple things that you can prevent the separation occurring in your life. And I encourage you to jot these down. Just a few things, and I want you to think about these. Number one, you need to study the Word of God daily. Get into the Word of God. Study it daily. Stay in the Word of God. Study the Bible. Take a look at the Word of God and just put it in your heart. Number two, stay in tune with God. Have your daily devotion time. Have your time in the Word of God. Have your prayer time. Have your time that you are spending time alone with God and being seeking His face. I think I mentioned to you even last week about our national pastor that was here just a couple weeks ago. We were talking over at the house and we were talking about revival and what was taking place. And he looked at me very honestly and said, Pastor, what happens in America will affect my country and around the world. He's from Costa Rica, small little country. But he said, what happens in America is going to affect all around the world. And folks, that's what's happening. We need to stay in tune with God. Number three, we need to strive to be faithful to all the services at church. We need to be in church. We need to be filling our minds and our hearts, and we need to be unified. Folks, I want to tell you something. I don't know how bad the persecution or how bad things are going to happen before they come to the Lord. I have a feeling they may get bad. But you know what we're going to need to do? We're going to need to fellowship at church and come together and be with God's people to get away from the things of this world. If you don't enjoy the fellowship of God's people, I feel sorry for you. I don't know what you're going to do in heaven. God wants us to come together and be together as a church body, as a church family. We come together and we forget the world, we forget our problems, and we come together and we encourage one another. Be in church as faithful as you possibly can. Number four, surrender your life completely to the Lord Jesus Christ. Surrender. Let God have control. Let me give you four things real quickly to do with somebody who's falling away from God. And folks, there are good people that have gotten away from God. And if we're not careful, what we do is we look down on that person. Oh, you've gotten out of church. Oh, you must not be saved. You can't be saved if you don't go to church. Folks, that is the farthest thing from the Word of God. A person should be in church if they're truly saved. They should have a desire to be in church. Yes. But sometimes because of sin, sometimes because of problems, they take their eyes off of God and they get out of church. Does not mean they're not saved. Let me give you something to help them. First of all, number one, love them and don't judge them for their sin. Don't go around with a holier-than-thou attitude to say, oh, look what you've done. Folks, look at what you sell first. See me first. See you first before we lash out at somebody else. Number two, live right before them is a good example. You want to show somebody how to be faithful, or you want to encourage someone to be faithful yourself. Be faithful to the house of God. Be faithful and serving God. Number three, lift them up before the Lord daily. Pray for these people. You know what we do? So many times we see a brother or sister who's fallen into sin, and we condemn them, and we never bring them before God, never say, God, help that person. Help that one. Lord, reach down and touch them. Number four, we need to lend a helping hand to help them from their sin. Don't condemn them. Don't spit upon them. Reach down and say, hey, I want to help you. I want to help you along. I've been missing you from church. I've been missing you from doing what God wants you to do. Don't be critical. Don't be lashing out. Don't be trying to be holier than thou. Hey, you could be in the same boat just in a few weeks if you're not careful. You could be out of church. Now, the separation. Quickly, go back to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And let me give you the third thought. Second Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Let me give you the third thought in this particular thing. If you go down to verse 7. The Bible says, never learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. The third thought I want you to see is the studying. People are searching for truth. I'm amazed when I talk to people and hear what is on their minds. They're looking for the things of God. They're searching for the truth. Talked to two people just yesterday and on Friday. Two different people, two different situations. Both people said something like this. I'm really not a religious person. I believe in God. I'm looking for the truth, but I don't know exactly where to find it. Now think about that. I'm looking for the truth. I believe in God, but I'm not a religious person. Why they meant by that is I don't go to church. But I'm looking for truth. That is our world today. People are longing. They want something. They're hungry for something. That's why people are continuing to get education, and we need to get all the education we can get. People are just cramming their minds with everything they possibly can. They want something. They're looking for something. They're longing for something in their heart. There's an emptiness that's there. Folks, God created us in His image. And that image is to have fellowship with God. And when that fellowship is not there, there's an emptiness. There's missing something there. Sad but true. The number one death among teenagers right now is suicide. Look at the statistics. From ages 21 down through age 13, the number one cause of death, and number two is actually car accidents for teenagers. But the number one cause of death is suicide. You say, why? People are looking for something and they can't find it, and so their only way out is to kill themselves and say, get rid of the pain, get rid of the pressure, get rid of what's going on, because there's no hope. They look around, they see the world economy, they look around and see what is happening. Everything is closing in on them. Actually, for adults, suicide now is quickly coming to number three and number four of both men and women. That's shocking. That's unbelievable. But here's the problem. People are searching for truth. They go to this place, and they go to this place, and they look on this thing, and they try to go to this help group, and they try to find something, and they can't find it. We've got the answer. We've got the solution right here. We've got the Word of God, that all we need to do is tell people, hey, this is what God said. But here's the problem. It's a twofold problem. We've got sin abounding. Sin is getting worse and worse and worse. It's not going to get any better. Folks, our world is not getting better. Psychologists and those who deal with psychiatric problems are trying to tell us all people are getting, they're getting better and better. It's the environment. You put somebody in a good environment, they're going to be okay. Folks, that's not the problem. You can give somebody the best environment, all the money and everything else they have, there'll still be a problem with sin. And we see the second problem is the separation. We see good Christians that are falling away. People are no longer attending church. People are no longer faithful. And the world looks at them and they say, we thought you had all the answers. We thought you knew everything that was going on. How come you don't have the truth? How come you don't have the answers? And they look at Christians who have failed and have fallen. Folks, I want to tell you something. The unsaved world, they can tell you every single Christian they know that have gotten out of church. They know it. They know what's going on. They know what's happening. They look at somebody's life and they watch them and they see what is going on. And they say, see, they're nothing but a fake and a phony. See, it's not real. And when they see somebody like that, why do I need to believe? I'm going to look somewhere else. I'm going to find the truth somewhere else. This is where the cults come in. This is where the churches that are not preaching the truth come into play. This is where things happen. And folks, what we're seeing right before our very eyes, these events happening, they're there. We see the sin abounding. We see the love of God waxing cold. We see people get indifferent and fall away from the things of God. We see the separation, as we talked about. We see the studying. People are searching. I want something. Now, as we look at all these things, say, Pastor, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to be keeping our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, I'm not telling you the Lord's coming back tomorrow. I'm not telling you that we need to be ready. We've got a week to live here upon this earth. I'm not telling you that. I'm not telling you that we need to sell everything and go up on the mountaintop, get in white robes, and be ready for the coming of the Lord. I'm not saying that. All I'm saying is, as we see these events happen, the reason I mentioned Greece in the introduction, we are coming very, very quickly to a one currency government all around the world. It's happening. It's setting up. Now, it may not take place for another 5, 10, 15, 20 years. It may not happen. But what we have to do, the Scriptures are becoming literally alive right before our very eyes. Things are happening, and we're seeing, and what we need to be able to do, this is what the Word of God says, these things have to happen. We shouldn't get discouraged. We shouldn't run and hide and say, you know, what's going to happen? Now, what we need to do is look up. Our redemption's drawing nigh. Folks, we are going home soon. Every day we live, we're getting closer and closer and closer to the coming of the Lord. And it's exciting. As I said, when I heard the news and heard what was taking place with Greece, I said, praise God, we're getting close. It's happening. It's taking place right before our very eyes. And we look at this particular message. We've got one more in this series we're going to deal with, and we're going to be talking about the delivering the Word of God next week.